B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Are you ignoring the golf tournament in your updates there, Arcan?
Yes. Tiger Woods coming back.
Next week at the Memorial.
Next week, yeah.
That's big.
We got the, what is it, the Workday Charity Open?
Yeah, this is not a big... I mean, Muirfield, you know, great course.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a... It's not an exciting leaderboard right now. Adam Hadwin, Canadian, is tied with Hideki Matsuyama. They're both at 5-under right now.
Okay.
Nick Taylor, Jason Day, Pat Perez, Louis Oosthuizen are all in a tie for second right now. So
now there's Cooch. Got the Cooch tied for seventh.
Yeah, I'm out on Cooch.
Out on him? Why?
Out on Cooch because he stiffed his caddy down in Mexico when he won a tournament down there, and he paid the guy $5,000 after he won like $1.2 million or something ridiculous like that. Had to be shamed into giving him a bigger cut.
Pretty weak.
And well, that was what they agreed upon ahead of time, but it's like, hey, dude, you just won for like the first time in a long time, and this guy, like, that would have been life-changing money for that guy. Well, we agreed to $5,000, so I gave him $5,000. Oh, no, I actually doubled it. I gave him $10,000. Like, I'm not saying you got to give him a full 10% rip, but, you know, Kuchar, A, hadn't won. B, this guy obviously helped him around the course. He was a local caddy. And C, you have a chance to change somebody's life, and it is not going to impact your financial situation one way or the other.
Right.
Matt Kuchar parting with $10,000 as opposed to $50,000 would not change nothing for him, and he had to be shamed into it.
Disappointing. Disappointing news from old Cooch there.
I mean, it was a while ago now, but...
pretty weak.
Yeah, you know what? If you ever worked for tips, that's the type of stuff that just sticks in your craw.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back to Cam Newton here. Just initial Cam Newton thoughts from the beginning of the show, just to revisit here for a second, Arcan. I myself was surprised to see the hype video that the Patriots put out there. You know, the celebrating of Cam Newton and the Superman stuff and all that stuff. I think it's fun. I think it's fine, whatever. I don't know if it even will be addressed, you know, among the coaches and the way things they expect to happen in Foxborough. Just the very notion, though, that they are celebrating the arrival of a player, whereas up until this point, had a guy, any player, join the team in a similar situation where you've got a couple of quarterbacks on the roster. Both have put in a lot of time here already. Well, Stidham has put in some time here, but Brian Hoyer has put in a lot of time here already. And presumably there is a quarterback competition about to happen in camp. This seems to say otherwise. The video that the Patriots put out yesterday has the look and feel of celebrating and welcoming the new starting quarterback for the New England Patriots. And that surprised me.
Yeah, that's what it looks like to me. I was just thinking, did they make a video for Antonio Brown when he came here last year? It's the kind of guy they would do that for, right? Like, you would think he was a big enough name, flashy enough player. I can't remember if they did. I feel like they didn't. I feel like they didn't make a video. Maybe they had an announcement and they put out a tweet and, you know, maybe a page on their Patriots.com. But I don't think there was a hype video.
I don't think you're asking that as a goof.
No, I'm not.
But I don't think there was, and you're right. There's a guy who it's Antonio Brown. Yeah, you put him on the field with, I don't know, maybe zero practice, and you just, you know, you tell him, go that way, right? Or don't even say that. Get open.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's that type of a player to where you could have just taken it for granted that he was going to have a positive impact on your team from day one. He played a game and had a touchdown. We saw what he was capable of in that one game. I don't remember any hype video for him.
Yeah, there may have been. I don't remember. I don't think there was. I don't think that they did one. This might be the first one for a free agent signing that they've ever done, because there aren't a lot of other big splashy names. Even Stephon Gilmore, we talked about before. Stephon Gilmore, when he came here, it was a big contract, sure. But was everyone like, oh, yeah, we got the best corner in the league now? I don't think so. He was good in Buffalo. He wasn't great. He's great now. But, yeah, I can't think of another guy that had any sort of pageantry like this when he came here from Patriots, from Kraft Sports Production, whatever it is. This is the first time I've ever seen them do that for somebody.
Now, so there's that, and then there's Jay Glazer's mailbag, which we didn't get into yet. The question was, where do the Patriots go at the quarterback position in the future? There are rumblings about Deshaun Watson. Is it as simple as the draft? Glazer says, Watson, what are you, crazy? Watson will be with the Houston Texans for a good decade or so. He's not going anywhere. There's absolutely no shot that'll ever happen. Look, if Jared Stidham can beat out Cam Newton, they have the quarterback of the future right there. They know what they have in Stidham. Those two statements kind of contradict.
What do they have? Do they have the quarterback of the future or the guy that Cam Newton's going to come in and replace? They know what they have. I hate this. Glazer's just like every other beat reporter. That's all they say. Well, they love Jared Stidham, but yeah, they also love Cam Newton. And, you know, okay, well, which one is it? Can someone give me a hint? No one knows. They all keep saying the same company line. Well, they love Jared Stidham, but you gotta go with Cam Newton. Well, okay, if they love him, then they wouldn't have gone with Cam Newton.
They know what they have in Stidham. That's why they had so much confidence. He might be the answer. This is going to drive you even battier. There were a lot of teams that really liked him in the draft.
Let him go four rounds. But yeah, they loved him. Yeah.
I love that, too.
Such propaganda. The
teams loved him so much so that they passed on him.
They loved him so much. After three rounds, they were like, you know what? We should really draft that guy. The Patriots got him.
They passed on him six times. Then there's the fact that he's been able to work with Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels, the new quarterback, Jed Fitch, the new quarterbacks coach, who is working with the Rams the last two seasons. He's got everything going for him to succeed. But let's also look at Newton, Glazer says. If this year off helped him heal and he can play like the MVP that he's been, then he's their quarterback of the future.
Okay, great, Jay. So everyone's the quarterback of the future. Everyone loves everyone. This is ridiculous. What even is this? This is like, it's nothing. It's like a nothing paragraph. Everything contradicts everything he says in the next sentence.
Stop. You're Jay Glazer. Have some respect over there, Arcan.
Jay Glazer could bench press my whole family. I know that, but this is ridiculous.
Compared to Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Philip Rivers, and Ben Roethlisberger, Newton, who is 31 years old, is a spring chicken. So he could very well be the quarterback of the future. But it could also be Jared Stidham because, quote, they know what they have in Stidham. That's why they had so much confidence. Right up until the point they didn't, and they brought in Cam Newton. Here's a question I want you to answer on the other side. Why did they bring in Cam Newton? Why'd they bring him in? Just think of it. Answer me that one question, and I would love to hear whatever it, because we talked about it a lot already. But what's the answer now? You know, we're a week and a half removed from them bringing out. Why'd they bring in Cam Newton? 617-779-0985.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. He got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand Hardy and Christian Arcan filling in today. 617-779-0985. Kevin on Twitter just said, hard canned.
Not bad.
Right?
Hard canned.
Why Cam Newton now?
I think it's a couple of things. Number one, I don't think it was just, it just sprung up out of nowhere. You remember, Hardy, back in April, Vegas was going crazy with all this Cam Newton stuff. They had Cam Newton going to the Patriots, number one up on their boards. The odds were really good, and everyone sort of just ignored it because nothing happened in the weeks afterwards. But that was in April. So I think there were rumblings about this going on. I think the Patriots were interested, and they were looking into it, and they were waiting for Cam Newton's price to come down to something that they could reasonably afford. They're right up against the cap, and they had to do this contract with all these incentives that only goes to about $7.5 million. But I think that was the driving force there. I also think that there was some sort of falling out of favor maybe with Jarrett Stidham. I think there's no way that couldn't have happened. Even if you have an opportunity to go sign Cam Newton, if we were to believe from what, you know, the team was saying, McCourty and Gilmore and Matthew Slater and all these leaders on the team who were just crowing all offseason about how great Jarrett Stidham is and how he's going to be the leader of the team, something happened there too. And it wasn't just Cam Newton became available. Something happened, I think, with Stidham. I don't know what, but it seems like he fell out of favor pretty quickly.
The only thing that makes sense is that something happened on the Stidham side that made them change their mind, because we all kind of accept now that if Cam Newton is healthy, then he's going to be the starter, right? It's difficult to envision a scenario where Stidham or Hoyer goes out there and just looks so much better than a healthy Cam Newton that they get the job in front of him. And I don't think anything remarkable happened with Cam Newton's health between April and last week.
Right.
So it's got to be something on the Stidham front. But what could that be? And this is what, you know, where Glazer tries to, you know, play both sides with saying they have all this confidence in Stidham, and Stidham, you know, is their guy going forward, unless Cam Newton gets the job and then Cam Newton is your quarterback for the future. Well, instead of dancing around it, I just have questions that don't have answers. What changed? What changed between you willing to roll with Stidham and don't tell me that they were just waiting for the price to go down? Because if you are so convinced that Cam Newton is going to be the guy, as we all are now, and you're making videos that are featuring him as the starting quarterback of the team, that's kind of what it looks like to me. If it's that obvious that he's the guy, why would you let $4 or $5 million get in the way of you signing him for a year and bringing him on 2 months ago? What happened? What changed?
Yeah, and you could say
they don't have that. They didn't have the room. They didn't have the space. Oh, shut up!
They could have created it. Yeah,
they didn't have the room for Antonio Brown. That's what I was told over and over again. No, dummy, don't worry about it. Antonio Brown's not going to come here, even if he wants to play, because they don't have the salary cap space for him. All of a sudden, they had $8 million to pay him. How the hell did that happen?
Yeah.
It's nonsense.
You pick it up out of nowhere, and you can restructure, you can redo people's deals, you can make money, you can create money if you need to, you can create that sort of revenue. That's the Rex Burkhead restructure they just did. They're doing it already. And that only creates about $1 million, but they need to because they're right up against it. Either way, as far as Cam Newton's concerned, no other team in the NFL really took a look at him or considered him a realistic possibility as a starter. And the Patriots were in a unique position because while Stidham was the guy that they were going with, so they said, you knew that there was not really all that much to go on with Jarrett Stidham. There's other teams like Jacksonville with Gardner Minshew, the Chargers with Tyrod Taylor, and the kid they just drafted there, Justin Herbert. They could have taken a look at Cam Newton, and as far as I know, none of them did. The only other team that looked at him was the Cleveland Browns as a backup, and Newton told him to go kick rocks. So I don't know if there was, it seems like there weren't any other offers. That was what was widely reported. And I think that Newton's stock was so low that the Patriots just sort of looked at it as a value play. And now you got this guy here who's healthy enough to pass a physical and ready to go and ready to be your starter. I sort of feel like Jarrett Stidham's time is come and gone. And whatever happened with him, the Newton signing, I think, makes Bill look really smart right now, even though, you know, he sort of waited a while. But you wait long enough, something like this shakes free. It worked out pretty good, I'd say.
Now let's go to Dan in Uxbridge. Dan, what do you have for us? You're on with Hardy and Arcan. Hello.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good.
What's up?
So I had a couple of things. You guys talked about a couple of things that I was already going to talk about. But one thing I was thinking of is something my father used to always say as a kid. You know, he put me out playing with competition way better than myself. And as a worse player or a lesser player or a more novice player, I developed better from that. So we have Stidham here. We bring in Cam Newton. Not that I think he's the best role model in the world, but as an athlete and as a NFL player, I think Stidham can benefit from that expertise and that professionalism that Cam has.
You know what, Dan? I wouldn't put it out of the collection.
Why is
of
Cam
reasons.
Newton not a role model either? By the way, I know we hung up on him, but like,
he's saying he is.
Oh, I thought you said he wasn't.
No,
a
you
good
say
role model.
He. Maybe like. I don't know.
Newton hasn't had any big scandals. He was a jerk to that reporter once,
right,
and he didn't dive on the fumble. But he hasn't had any big scandals or anything like that I can think of.
Fine, just keep in the realm of football then.
Right.
Okay. No, I don't discount it as a reason as to why to bring him in. If you still think Stidham could be the guy, but maybe he's not quite ready, you know, let him operate for a year. I don't know. No, it doesn't. It doesn't hold that much water. Stidham's already been here. He knows what the routine is. He watched Tom Brady, even in Tom Brady's less than, you know, all in 100% professional, first guy there, prime parking spot.
Right.
You know, first one in, last one out. He's still got to learn from Tom Brady in terms of, you know, how to be a quarterback in this league. And even if it wasn't, you know, Tom at his best in terms of, you know, what you would wish for your next quarterback, still a pretty damn good example that Brady was setting for Stidham's first year here. So is he going to learn? Does he need to learn more about how to be a pro from Cam Newton? I don't know. I think something happened with Stidham. And I think it's something more than just Bill sitting around the house during lockdown for weeks, which became months, mm-hmm. and mulling it over and finally just saying, what am I doing? I can't put Stidham out there as a quarter. What am I doing? We got to go get some. What do you think? He just had like a moment of clarity. Like he was in a fog for weeks or months. I don't think Bill Belichick operates that way.
No, I think it was, as far as Newton's concerned, I would think that it was the price coming down. That's still where I sort of stand with that. They could have created more space if they really, really wanted it.
So they were willing to go with an obviously inferior option because they didn't want to spend the extra $4 million.
Yeah, I think so.
I think you're nuts.
I think that was it. Why do you do it at the end of June then?
I don't know. I reject your answer that it was a value play. Because we're not talking about a wide receiver. We're not talking about a nose tackle. We're talking about the most important position on the football team.
But you don't know that it was only $4 million in between it. Maybe Newton was out there asking for $20 million. Maybe he was asking for $15 million. Maybe he was asking
for... So he's asking for $15 million 2 months ago, and then he settles on $1 million?
When no one offers him anything, yeah. The only offer he gets is Cleveland. You can come here and back up Baker Mayfield. And he said, bleep that. I'm not doing that. I'll play this year, but I want to go somewhere where I think I can start. New England's a place he thought he could start. I think he's going to start here. I think they finally figured it out. I think in April is when they first started talking, and then they finally were able to meet in the middle somewhere at the end of June, which is wild. I mean, to sign a quarterback, let alone a first overall pick, former MVP, at the end of flipping June, COVID or not, that's ridiculous.
I mean,
that never happens.
I know. Which begs for an explanation beyond, they were just too far apart on money. They didn't meet in the middle. They gave him $1 million. That's not meeting in the middle.
Middle of zero and something, I guess. Yeah.
Well,
zero and okay. 2 million. It's in the middle of that. Yeah.
It's somewhere in between, but it's not meeting in the middle.
Right.
Greg and Lincoln. What's up, Greg?
Bill is either going soft or he's sticking it to Brady here, you know, because he brought in Jimmy G to challenge Tom. This is the same guy who told Welker he was getting Wally pipped by rookie Edelman. And they're going to release that hype video and roll Cam Newton out. No ifs, ands, or buts. He's the starter.
Yeah, I mean, sticking it to Brady doesn't really make sense. Because if he wanted to, the best way to stick it to Brady is to go all in on Stidham and say, you know what? You lost in the first round of the playoffs your last year, Tom. And I can do that with anybody. And give me a couple years with this kid, and we'll be back in the Super Bowl. That's how you stick it to Brady. You don't stick it to Brady by bringing in another MVP-type quarterback. That's not sticking it to Brady. That's showing Brady that I can't do it without a real quarterback.
I suppose. I think there's also the little matter of, okay, we're going to go with Stidham. He's the quarterback of the future, but is he ready right now? And if he's not ready right now, there's really only going to be two seasons of Belichick versus Brady in another place, right? That's all we're really expecting from Brady, to play two more years in Tampa Bay. I don't think he's going to play beyond that, if he even plays beyond one, if they even have this season. But that being said,
Jesus.
You have a short shelf life here to prove that it was, you know, me. I was because of me that everyone was successful. It wasn't necessarily all Tom Brady. It was me, Bill Belichick, putting him in a position to win. And I can do that with another quarterback, but I'm probably going to win more games if it's Cam Newton than it is Jarrett Stidham, and I only have 2 years to prove this.
David in the car. Go ahead, David. You're on with Hardy and Arcam. What's up?
Hey, Hardy. So I heard Matt talking last week about possibly Belichick doing a diabolical plan as to, you know, getting...
Oh, we lost you.
Now we'll never know what the diabolical plan is.
And Maz can be just as diabolical, you know. So if it's Maz thinking diabolically about someone else and their diabolical plans, that's double diabolical.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been good. All right, call back.
By diabolical.
We've got the headlines here from Arcan. Bruce Arena, sporting director, head coach of the New England Revolution. They're playing tonight. Taking on Montreal tonight in the bubble in Orlando. I have pretty much all environmental questions for Bruce Arena. And I don't mean like water toxicity. I mean how...
Rainforest?
Like how hot is it? They're playing down there right now. I saw there was a game under... Like there's hot and then there's Orlando in July hot. Like, still think it was a good idea, coach? You know... We've seen some pictures from the NBA players and their arrival and the food. What's it like? Is this going to work for all the leagues? So if you have other soccer questions, feel free to send them along ahead of time. But otherwise, I really just want to know what it's like down there. They have yet to play. They're playing their first game tonight, and you'll hear it here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Arcan here with the headlines as we fill in for Zolak and Bertrand.
Sports Hub. How important is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Why are you trying to make us sad in here, T-Bone? I mean, I love the song, but...
Because I know it's your Desperado.
It's better than Witchy Woman. All right, it's...
This is I Wish It Would Rain?
Yeah. Turn up, T-Bone!
Because when it's raining, you can't see he's crying.
Is that what it's about?
Isn't that what this is? Or is that I Want to Walk Outside in the Rain? Maybe that's a different one. I thought I Wish It Would Rain was so people can't tell he was crying.
I don't know. I've never really like investigated the lyrics all that much.
I might be wrong.
No, it's about a drought.
Oh. A literal drought?
It's a joke.
It never says anything about hiding the tears, wishing it would rain. No.
Oh. I might be thinking of a different one, then.
I think you are.
Yeah.
Bruce Arena joins us in 10 minutes. We go to Jake in Boston, joining us here on the Cam Newton, Jared Stidham situation. What's up, Jake?
Hey, boys, the Cam thing wasn't happening until it happened. I was at the Pro Shop this weekend, first time it opened since the COVID crisis. There were three racks of Jared Stidham jerseys ready to go, including women and kid sizes. You don't do that if you think he's the guy. Now, what did happen, I think, was two things. Number one, I think the social climate played into it. And if you look at my friend Linda Holiday's Instagram, since May 17th, before all the George Floyd stuff, you know, obviously very, very active, very narcissistic. Since, it's been all Black Lives Matter until Cam Newton was signed. This is someone who usually this time of year is in Nantucket with Bill on the boat and a Lily Pulitzer dress going full throttle. Number two, Stidham's wife, like Giselle...
I have a feeling we're really going to get two here. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is going to be the last point. Go ahead.
Okay. Stidham's wife, like Giselle, had become a problem. since the Cam signing was first mentioned, all we've gotten is this happy anniversary post, and it's been MIA. And this was a woman who used to post 10 to 12 Instagram stories a day, what they were cooking, what movies they were watching, what beauty products she was wearing. The difference between Jared Stidham and Cam Newton is that Cam Newton had his camera crew around taping him as he worked out, and Jared Stidham was the Instagram boyfriend from that Taco Bell commercial a few years ago, basically taking all the photos of her and wanted to be the Instagram boyfriend instead of the football quarterback.
All and right, that's Jake, why. All right, thank you. Look, I can only stomach so much. Now, if you want to say that Jared Stidham was going to be the next Tom Brady, I'm going to roll my eyes and say, you know, slow down. But if you start to compare Jared Stidham's wife as being the same level of problem as Giselle, that's where I put the brakes on. There will only be one problem wife of a quarterback in New England until the day I die, and that is Giselle. She was a problem. How dare you insinuate even that someone else could approach the level of problem that Giselle was.
In such a short time, too.
And barely. Yeah. I mean, now
Giselle's been around 13 years, you know? They got married in 07, right?
Was I the first one to just label her a problem?
Or 09, maybe?
T-Bone. That was me, right?
Yeah, you invented that.
Thank you. Thank you. That's mine. How dare you?
You walked so Murray could run.
And Linda Holiday now is making personnel decisions for the quarterback for the New England Patriots.
Right.
That's essentially what Jake was saying.
And her Instagram has gone dark since this all happened, which is indicative of something.
Yes.
With player personnel. Cam Newton
has no value to this team beyond the PR bump they get from the Black Lives Matter movement.
I also like the idea that they...
what are we doing?
They weren't selling Cam Newton jerseys before he was on the team either, so that's a big clue right there. I was at the pro shop. It was all Stidham. Yeah, because Cam Newton wasn't on the team.
I'll agree with him that there seemed to be a large contingent that believed Stidham was going to be the quarterback. I'm not surprised to hear that they had a bunch of Stidham jerseys down in the pro shop last weekend, but something happened. And it didn't happen on Sunday night. It didn't happen on Monday. It happened in the jerseys were already made. Let's see if we can sell them.
Mm.
I don't think they think that anymore. And no. I still don't know what happened. What I don't believe is that Linda Holiday somehow made the decision for Bill.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I'm not buying in on that. Joe and Lemonster, what do you got, Joe?
So I now know the difference between Stidham and Giselle. In reference to what Belichick is doing, if he's so far ahead of everybody else, would you want to pick Stidham, as good as he may be in his mind, and put him on the field right after Tom Brady? Or do you want to wait until week 5 or 6 when Cam Newton's foot goes wrong, and then there's less pressure on Stidham when he comes onto the field because he's replacing Cam Newton, not Tom Brady?
So worried about him in terms of how he's going to be perceived by fans?
No, his own psychology. Like, Belichick is high level. So he's thinking of the psychology of Stidham right now, and he saw an opportunity to get this player, and if he works out, well, great. But if he doesn't, Stidham's coming on the field after him, not Tom Brady, and he doesn't have to come into that vacuum.
Yeah, you know what? You know what, Joe? It's not a terrible theory, but, you know, this isn't midseason, you know? This isn't like one right after the other. And, you know, if he's the guy and he's got the skills, I had Garoppolo been able to play a little bit more, I don't think it would have bothered him. And you're either the guy or you're not, you know. And quite frankly, if you pick it up in the middle of the drive in the third quarter on third down, if, you know, that's when your name gets called, that's when you go in.
Right.
I don't think they're thinking about his psyche and how he's going to be damaged by having to, you know, take the first snap game one after the last guy to take a snap was Tom Brady. Yeah,
but if they were looking at that, this is probably the least amount of pressure to put on him. You're not making it a big quarterback competition in camp. You're not making it a whole preseason thing. You got to earn the job against Cam Newton here in two preseason games. You got to go out and impress them. That's a lot of pressure for a kid for that. Yeah. And it'd be a lot of pressure to follow Tom Brady. Now, you're the backup. You're going to be the backup. But if Newton goes down with an injury, which, let's face it, it's Cam Newton, he probably will, we're going to turn to you. not much pressure there.
All right. We have a bunch of calls to get to still. We're going to have a quick conversation with Bruce Arena, the head coach and sporting director of the Revolution. But hang on the line. We'll get to you coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Mike.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand, it's Hardy here, and Christian Arkan joining us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Bruce Arena, head coach, sporting director of the New England Revolution. Bruce, thank you for joining us once again. How are you?
Good. My pleasure to be on, gentlemen.
Well, looking forward to the match tonight. I'm sure you're looking forward to get back to playing, but I got to know, after watching a little bit last night and what's going on there today, it just looks hot. We know it's July in Orlando, but how hot is it really?
It is hot and it is humid. It's humid. I'm sorry. It's very different. I think the first day of training, our players got a bit of a taste of the heat and humidity, and it was certainly challenging. So, you know, we've been here close to a week now. We did arrive last Thursday, so we've been here a week. I think we're a little bit more acclimated, but these conditions are really difficult. And I could see in the first two games that have played so far that, you know, teams are getting fatigued at the end of both halves. So our guys have got to keep their concentration, and we've got to utilize our substitutions in a smart way tonight.
In terms of the other conditions going on there with regard to testing, do you feel safe? Do you feel like all the proper measures have been taken? You know, what's the general feeling among you, the coaches, and the players right now? Do you feel like you're in a pretty good spot?
Yeah, I would tell you this. I don't really go on social media. I look a little bit on the internet, and I see that there's talk of maybe people question this or that. It's virtually impossible to catch this virus inside this bubble. The testing's simply outstanding. We're tested every other day. We've had, I think, to date, 23 tests, each player and people in our travel party. And we've all been negative, and everything has been very good. The accommodations, the food. The only complaint I have is the weather. But everything else, you know, we feel good about, and we're certainly excited about playing tonight.
Bruce, Christian Arkand here. You talked about how it's tough to get the coronavirus in the bubble. What about injuries that may force someone to go outside the bubble? We saw Andre Reyes last night in that Orlando-Miami match get popped in the throat. He got stretchered off the field. What exactly happens when something like that goes down? Do they have to go outside the bubble? Is there a hospital on site? Like, how does that work?
There's not a hospital on site. We had a player that had to get an X-ray the other day, and he was quarantined for a day. And that's the general policy, and they're tested. So, you know, everything is safe. And so the player last night probably went to the local hospital here. They quarantined him today, and they gave him obviously a COVID test, and I'm sure he's fine.
How's the health for the players? We didn't get a chance to see Carlos Hill earlier in the season. I know we talked to you about this, and I asked you again last week, but for people who didn't catch it, are you a full go tonight?
He is, yes. And,
okay.
He's an outstanding player, so we're very fortunate getting him back in. We missed him in the first two games of the season. We had about three or four injuries when we opened up the season in our first two games, and those players are healthy, so we're looking forward to having them on the field tonight.
And you're going to have a few degrees, hopefully, moving in your direction tonight. It's going to cool off a little bit, I think, by the time you guys kick off.
It'll probably be in the low 80s. It's probably the humidity more than anything. You know, we've seen a fair amount of heat in Boston, but not this type of humidity. But our guys are pretty fit, and I think they'll do well tonight in dealing with these conditions.
Obviously, it could change the time of substitutions. Does it change your thinking on the starting 11 also?
It would if we had players that we didn't think were in full fitness. But the other part of it, you could also say that if that player's not fully fit, we'll just have a substitution for him. You know, typically we have three substitutions in that, and you really can't start a player that's not fully fit using those type of rules. But tonight we have a little bit more flexibility. However, we're going to play our first 11 as long as we can. We see any players tiring, we're prepared to make substitutions. And, you know, we'll likely use four substitutions and hold the last one because in these conditions, anybody could falter in the closing 10 minutes. So we want to have another substitution available if that happens.
Now, very much looking forward to it tonight, Coach, and we appreciate you taking the time on a game day, and we'll all be watching, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you again next week as we get ready for the second game. Yeah.
Great, and we're hopeful we put on a good show for our Revolution fans in Boston, and thank you for having me on today.
Of course, always. Pleasure is ours. Bruce Arena, Sporting Director and Head Coach. Thanks again. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right, there he goes. So they're playing tonight. You know, it's funny. Bruce will say things that really we don't hear from anyone else, and he says them kind of like matter-of-factly and off the cuff. To me, that was the big takeaway, what he just said. Virtually impossible to get the virus inside this bubble. And they're not doing that. MLS is doing testing every other day. There are some other protocols in different sports that are calling for testing every day, especially at the beginning. But he said, based on what he's seen and based on what's taking place down there, he said, if you're in and you don't have it, you're not getting it once you're here.
Yeah. And that's why they wouldn't let Dallas and what's the other team? Nashville, they're not letting them in. I almost wanted to know, like, did everyone take a vote? Did all the teams decide, all right, no Dallas, those guys are screwing around. Nashville, those guys, I saw them at the club last weekend. Like, that was a weird thing that happened.
Yeah, but, I mean, that's, what can I say? There are things that happen and little bits of news that come out here and there across all sports that either, you know, today it's the Ivy League and Texas High School. The Ivy League saying no sports this fall, and Texas high school superintendent saying he doesn't think there's going to be high school football in Texas, and you feel one way about sports this fall. And then you talk to Bruce Arena, who this is far from his first rodeo.
Right.
When you're talking about coaching national teams and coaching in college and being a successful coach in the MLS, and you listen to him anyway, if you want to find out, you know, something from a guy who knows what he's talking about. But when he says something to the effect of, once you're in this bubble, it's impossible to catch the virus. Now, he's not speaking of this as a doctor. He's just speaking of, you know, he's saying this as a coach who has been around and has done a lot. That starts swaying me back the other side. You know what? I feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
I do feel better after hearing him say something like
that. I'd like to know if the players feel that way, too. And also, those guys have been down at the bubble a little while. NBA players are hesitant. Some of them are even going reluctantly almost. You heard Jason Tatum the other day. He, like, barely wanted to even go. You know, he's like, I'm going to go because it's my teammates and I want to make a statement and everything else. But I wonder if after a couple of days they're going to feel the same way, if they're going to be like, yeah, hey, we're down there. It's secure. It's going to be tough to get coronavirus down here. Maybe that'll change some of their minds, too.
All right. So, talk to Bruce Arena. I feel better. Good. 617-779-0985. Buddy has some WBCN trivia. All right, we'll do that. More on Cam Newton. And also, we did this once before about sports collectibles. We're going to open it up to music, though, too. This is going to be something that we call, we'll make you an offer. If, you know, maybe you're a little short on funds these days. A lot of us are, you know. I don't know anybody who's making as much money this year than they did last year. You got some memorabilia you want to move? Call me and Christian here. 617-779-0985. Doesn't have to be a signed rookie card. It could be anything. Anything that you deem collectible, will make you an offer. You have to be actually willing to fork over the money, though, Christian.
All right.
Okay. So get ready for that if you got some stuff you want to move here. As we continue here, get into the fourth and final hour, Hardy and Arcand here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hour number four of Zolak and Bertrand. It's Hardy and Christian Arcand. The Phoenix, risen from the ashes.
The dead man.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't the ashes. It was just your own ashes. You know, you were